SD card, you can go with it and record stuff. The thing I like about it is it actually has two what's called XLR inputs, so I can actually plug professional microphones into it. But when you plug it through USB to your computer, it actually acts as what's called an audio interface, which means that now your computer knows how to talk to these devices as if it was a built-in microphone. So that's, again, I don't want to go too deep into audio hardware here, because then we'll never finish my little having a real podcast in less than 45 minutes. So, as you can see, this is the screen of Audacity. One thing important to know, once you plug that device into your computer, only then start Audacity, because Audacity doesn't detect changes to audio hardware while it runs. So if you look here, I don't know if the screen is too small, but I have the list of input devices, a built-in microphone, H4, which is this device, and audio hedge, which is some software I use sometimes to do nifty things with my computer. But that list will not refresh if I unplug and plug something to the computer. So you have to plug everything in, only then start. That's one of the things with these three tools. Okay, what we're going to do right now, I'm going to record you two. Now, the nice thing about this tool is that actually each one of these is going to go into one side, left and right. So later on, we can actually edit them separately if we want to, which is one of the reasons I like this. So who's the host? Who's the interviewee?
Jamie's the host.
Oh. Okay. Do you have an idea?
I do.
Do you have a name for the show?
I do.
Okay. So we're going to record you. If we need to take a second take, but I want to take about a minute. Okay. Oh, sure. Okay? Ready?
Right.
You guys need to be quiet. You guys need to hold it pretty close. And I'm going to tell you when to start speaking, because this is an important lesson. You want to start with what's called the noise floor of the room. You hear that voice here? And actually, I'm just under that fan outlet. That noise is really annoying, but Audacity can actually remove it for you. But in order to do it, you need to have enough of it sampled so you can get the room's temperature of the noise. And then I'll show you how to remove it. So always start with a little bit of just no one talking. Okay?
Especially you guys.
So here's the record button. I don't need to do anything once I started the project. All I need to do is have everything plugged in. I do want to check the level. So up here, there is a click to start monitoring. So click on it. You can see that when I speak, because I'm in between them, both lines run the same way, but you can speak for a second, Mike.
Hi, that's 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so I don't know why it actually doesn't come as stereo, but I'm stereo here. No, I am stereo. Okay, so when we record, you see that each one of them actually goes to a separate side. So now I'm going to start with like 5 or 10 seconds of quiet, and I'll give you the cue, and you can start the show. Okay?
Hello, welcome to the Podcast It Yourself workshop. My name is James Fogwish. Thank you for joining us. I'm joined by Mike Stockholm from Business Solutions. We're going to talk about his business here and why he's here at Podcast It Yourself 2017. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Thank you, James. Thank you very much. Business Solutions Technologies is a software consulting company, and we focus on ServiceNow platform. Our expertise is in the new area called agent intelligence. So we're really getting excited about understanding how we can apply podcasting to help promote our message out to our customers.
Fantastic. So who would be the optimal customer that you're looking for to help them maybe in this podcasting and your technical format?
And I don't have to come up with a real answer here, do I?
I'm sure you want to get it. Whatever answer you want to get.
Okay, could you repeat the question again?
The question, Mike, is who is the customer that you're currently looking for that you can help them with your technical capabilities and your podcast format?
Right, there's a community of developers that's around the world, we have various meetups that have been sponsored by ServiceNow. So what we'd like to do is be able to share some of the concepts that we learn at these meetups and then be able to introduce those meetups as well.
Well, thanks for joining us, Mike. We're going to give it back to Ross here. In the studio.
Thank you.
Give him a hand. And I stopped. Now, for whatever reason, I'm not going to get into it right now, but I see they actually recorded it. both channels to the same one, probably a misconfiguration. I actually tested it before and did do it separately, so I will not show you how to edit them separately. But what you see here,
still recorded. I didn't hit the right button.
Probably, yes. Okay. So what you see here, and that's very important, as you record, and that's one of the skills you need to develop, as you talk to your guest and you focus on them like a hawk, right? Like you have to be there because you have to listen to what they say and interact with them and not just read your next question off your charts. So you still need to develop these senses of, am I recording? You have to see that thing is moving. This is the best indication. When you see this graph feeling and keep feeling, you know that as long as you learn how to read that thing while you're looking at your guest, you're golden. But pay attention to these things. If something pops up, if a dialogue pops up, stop it. Another quick tip, especially because you usually don't go live, if for whatever reason, especially if you do a remote recording, if there is a sound, you know, interruption, it drops in audio, whatever, it's okay to ask the person to repeat unless you really want to have a very cool flow, kind of like you're with me in the room. But if you want to do a professional thing, always tell them, I can hear you, let's repeat that. It's okay. Okay, another thing at the beginning, in addition to the noise floor, start with sound kind of like small. Don't jump directly, don't attack them. Okay? Now I'm going to do something I hate doing, but I have no choice. I'm going to sit while speaking. Because otherwise, I would not be able to show you things properly. So, let's do a quick kind of like orientation of what you're looking at here. At the top, we have all the controls. Now, I'm using a Mac. One of the advantages of using Mac, beyond just like being a cool and having an Apple, so you feel like you're organic when you're not, I don't need crap. But one of the things I like about it is that, as I said, I don't use Audacity, I use Audition from Adobe. So I'm used to all the shortcuts and everything from there. Audacity has most of the features, just not with the same names or the same features. But to some extent, it's like me being you, because I learn it as I go. Although I know what I'm looking for, but I don't always remember what it is. So a great feature in Apple OS in general is the help menu, because you can always type stuff and you can find it for you in the menus, right? So if I want to do something like, in this case, I want to do three things to this audio. I want to clean the audio noise, I want to do what's called normalization, and I want to do compression. I'll explain each one of them as we go through them. But I don't remember in which menu it is located. I just remember the names. So just go here, and I do noise reduction, and it finds it. If you just hover over it, it'll actually show you where it affects under noise reduction. Okay, so that's something I use a lot when I use tools where I know what to look for, but I don't know the exact location to save me time. On PC, I don't think they have it because it's a Mac built-in feature. With that being said, here's what we're going to do now in order to start treating this audio. And as you can see, the audio is actually pretty well. Like we get to the tops, we don't have too many quiet areas. We might have some areas when we want to clean, like the beginning, we had this like mistake and we restarted. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to scroll all the way to the beginning. As you can see, we have a nice floor here. Now, there is a shortcut called Command-Shift-F or Control-Shift-F, which is fill the screen on the, this is the vertical side, right? So fill it vertically so that everything you have would fill the screen. Same thing goes for if you just do Command-F for fill, it will do the same thing horizontally. So if you want to see everything on the screen at once, either Command-F or Command-Shift-F will give you everything to the screen. I actually want to zoom in here. So again, if you're not familiar with the tool and you don't know the shortcuts, you can just use the button. So we have the zoom in, zoom out, and basically use the selection or something else to find it. So I'm going to focus now on the area of the beginning. So I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to zoom in. Now I'm going to show you another cool feature that Professional Tools has, and this is one of the features that Audacity has. Here is a small menu called Audio Track. By the way, if it's too small, let me know, and I'll try to make it a little bit bigger. But this audio track actually has a menu with many options. One of them is how to show you the audio waveform. So what we see right now, that blue line that was drawn, this is the typical waveform that just shows you how high or low was the amplitude over time, which is what we usually use to see when we see audio. There's a much powerful tool, not good for editing, but good for corrections, called the spectrogram. The spectrogram actually replaced that, this weird almost like blah of pictures and pixels. What it does basically, it shows you, if you see here on the left, it shows frequencies from the lowest frequency, which is like the bass, all the way to a higher frequency, which is the treble. It actually shows you, and the brighter the color is, the higher the amplitude of that specific frequency. What does it mean? It means that if you look at this, the noise of the room is actually all around here. All that thing is noise. And the reason I'm showing it to you is because when you do the cleanup, this is how the computer will actually figure out what out of this thing is noise, what is not noise, and it will fix it for us. So I'm just going to play the audio as we have it right now. If that's the background noise we have. Right? I'm going to come to the selection. Listening.
Hello, welcome to the podcast at Yourself Workshop. My name is James Fawbush. Thank you for joining.
You heard the voice, right? It's like his sound sounds amazing, but we have that annoying background noise. So here's how we clean the background noise. And I switched to this view because it's easier to select only the area that has only noise and nothing else. Like here, for example, there are some clicks I can see and other things. I don't want that thing because this will confuse the computer and they try to just filter out the noise. But if I go to this area where everything looks very consistently noisy, it will be a much better sample to do. So I'm selecting this. I'm going to listen to it. By the way, if you want to listen to something in loop, if you do space, it just plays. If you do shift space, it will play it in loop. Okay. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to effects, noise reduction, and we'll need to do it twice. The first time we do it, it will open the same dialog, but the first thing we need to do is something here called get noise profile. Basically samples the noise and learn it. Analyze it and now keep it as a signature, because now every time I see that thing overlaid on anything else in the audio, just remove it. Now you can always configure these things, and I'll show you later on. For the most part, the defaults are fine, especially when you do your first recording. Always try to record in a good room, quiet. Like, it's always good practice to start clean, but we never have these conditions in life anyhow. So all you do is get noise profile. I'm done. Now I'm going to do a select all command A. I'm going to go to effects, noise reduction, and now I'm just going to do OK. Again, I'm not even changing the defaults. I'm not playing with them. Whatever the defaults are, I'm just doing OK. It processes it for a few seconds. You can already see how the picture is much cleaner, right? And now I'll play it. Now, we do have some loud noise in this room. As you can see, it's much quieter.
Hello, welcome to the podcast at Yourself Workshop. My name is James Fawbush. Thank you for joining us. I'm joined by Mike Stockholm from Business Solutions.
Okay, so we're done with step one. That was noise reduction. Any questions? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so all we did is we basically applied a filter to clean the signature of the noise floor of the room. Second thing we're going to do is what's called normalization. So for that, I'm actually going to go back to the waveform view. What normalization does is when you look at this space here, we have basically a range of amplitude that we can use for our sound. Now, once you have everything recorded, it's really good to kind of like try to stretch everything to fill it as much as possible without clipping it at the end. If it clips, this is when you get distortion. It's like, but if you get low, just enough below it, you actually get a bit better, richer sound. So there is an effect called normalizer, which basically analyzes your entire audio, look for the lows and highs, and try to stretch them to fill as much of the space available without causing any distortion. Make sense? But if I'm too fast, let me know. I'm really trying to beat the 45 minutes.
Hey, Ross, so what you're saying is that with the audio, you're trying to make each peak and each valley equal, right?
So that's the compression.
Is that the compression? Oh.
Right. I'm now talking just on normalization, okay, which is a step before we get to compression.
Okay.
All we're trying to do right now is basically say, if I have this amount of space and I didn't use it because I was too low for the entire recording or for whatever reason, I have a chance to boost it so that I get the maximum volume I can get without introducing distortion, without clipping the waveform.
Does it make the maximum height, the highest one, it brings it up to the highest?
Right. So wave actually goes both up and down. It's in what's called AC wave, so it goes positive and negative. There is a middle line here, which is called zero line. And actually, sometimes there is something called DC offset, but it's too advanced for now. If you have equipment that actually adds something, that entire line can ride higher or lower. In our case, it's actually perfect, so we don't need to do that. But normalization will actually offer that thing. So I'm going to go to effect. It will be much easier after I do that. So I'm going to effect normalizer. And what you see here, actually, that's a DC offset, which asks you if you want to remove it. Don't worry about it for the most part. It's not very common to see this thing, and if you have it, you know that your equipment generate that. But what you see here is actually, and again, you don't need to change anything. The defaults are perfectly well for what you need. This is how much below the maximum it will actually stretch the top of your volume. Okay? So again, I'm not doing much, just okay. I probably had some clips here. So in our case, actually, that did not work in our case, right? Because I have here this huge spike. So I'm going to, and that's one of the most beautiful things that we have in computers and DAWs and everything, undo. Command Z, and I'm back to the original, right? So maybe in our case, we don't need to do it, or if you really want to do it, you can just go to specific areas and do it, but then compression can actually help us. So in our case, the recording was so good, no need to do normalization in our case. If you have something, it's really kind of like low, and you can barely see the waveform, it's kind of like in the range of like 0.3, 0.4, 0.5, use normalization to just make it look like this. Okay? And again, remember the undo, that's a beautiful button. I love it. Now, another thing you want to learn is, you can guess, another shortcut that you need to know since the first days of Word 7, A1, sorry. Command S. Which is, or control it.
Save. I had in the early days of GarageBand and Soundtrack Pro, a little sticky note.
Oh, okay.
A little sticky note, and it said, every fifth edit, Command S.
Right. So, save is awesome for two reasons. What I did right now, not only it's not saved, you don't even know where it is. Because we never saved this project, we don't even know where the files were saved. When you save it for the first time, it will actually choose a location that you are aware of. So if your computer crashes, you know where to go and find it. So we're saving it for the first time. It asks me where. I have a nice folder for PIY. I could not do hashtag PIY, but it's PIY 2017. Or could I? Never question my folder.
Try it.
I'm going to name the file. PIY 2017.Audacity. Demo. What should I call it? Live demo. Okay? Once you save it, it will do two things. By the way, when you...
It worked.
It worked. Yeah. I already forgot about it. One thing that you will notice, the first time you use the app, it might give you some pop-ups of like suggestions and warnings. One of the things it will tell you in this situation is be aware that what you save is a project and not a file. The files are saved separately, and when you want to do the baking, as we said, this is when you actually create a file that you upload someplace to share with people. So what we have right now is a clean version of the audio, right? I'm not going to go into exact editing, but I'm going to do a little bit of editing just to show you how you just cleaned a little bit. So I'm going to go back to the beginning, start playing it. See how quiet it is now, the noise is from here, but basically...
Welcome to the Podcast It Yourself Workshop. My name is James Foglish. Thank you for joining us. I'm joined by Mike Stockholm.
So that was bad, right? Again, I'm not going to do it exact right now. I'm just going to show you the concept of how do you clean these things. So you zoom in. You can always click here when you see this green arrow. It looks like a rotated play button. When you click it, it actually starts playing for that location.
I'm joined by...
So now I roughly see visually where he corrected himself. I'm guessing it will be here. So this is where he starts speaking correctly. Right here. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this part.
And you're just clicking and dragging to do that, right?
Yeah, I just clicked and dragged. So you just press your button. But, good thing you mentioned, you see this six button section here. These are all the tools that we're going to use a lot, at least a few of them, as we do the things. What I use right now is a selection tool, and it has the same cursor as you see in word processor crossing when you have the blinking cursor, right? So I made sure it's this, which is the default one. Once I selected it, now I need to do something with it. If I just hit delete, it will delete the entire thing. That's not what we want. What we want to do is remove this, but have the entire audio shift to the left. That thing is done through edit, remove special, and split delete. So what split delete does, it splits your audio in that point where the selection is and stitch the two parts together. So everything to the right of my selection will actually shift left. Okay? Now, one thing I didn't tell you, because we're just doing a demo, but an important tip, before you do any editing like that, because you're going to destroy your original file, make copies of the entire folder or do a savings of the project, and then work on a consistent copy. Make sure you're using a naming convention that works for you, where you know which one is the original and which one is the one you use for editing. Okay? But now I'm going to do split delete, and basically, sorry, that thing just deleted without removing. What we can do now is take the shift tool, time shift tool, which is this guy with the two arrows, and then I can go here, select this part, and just drag it over here. So I basically close the gap. Okay? There is a way, again, I probably picked the wrong option, one of the delete options. If you play with it, you'll find them. We'll actually shift it over as it deletes. It does the correction. Now, most chances right now, we have some almost a click sound between these two recordings because they are not perfect. So let's just listen to it and make sure it works right.
Yeah, I'm joined by Mike Stockholm. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, I'm joined by Mike Stockholm.
For under 45 minutes that we need to beat, we should be fine with that. So let's assume that's the editing we did. I still didn't do the compression. So what compression does, if we look at the full audio, as you can see, we have areas where it's very loud, areas where it's very low. What compression does, it actually tries to even them up and take the lower part and just boost them and keep everything almost like in a consistent way without losing a lot of the dynamic nature of the original recording. That's something very nice about that compressor. It's not just doing it like to the extreme. It tries to do it while maintaining the overall ratio. So I'm just going to do that thing really quickly here. Again, just follow the defaults. Compressor, you don't... By the time you really get it, you can start playing with all these settings, but for now, I'm just going to do the default. Okay. And, I had the selection on part of it, so I'm going to select all. Always when you see something doesn't work, undo, look what's wrong. I did not have the selection on all. This is why it happened. Effect, compressor, okay. And now everything is kind of like consistent. Okay. By the way, now if I go to at least most of it where I don't have this peak and I do normalize, it will actually pick it up. But again, I don't want to take too much time for that. These are things you can start playing with as you feel comfortable. For the most part, just do it, play with the order, what works. Sometimes the order is the right order, sometimes you need to play with it and try it. So work with whatever works for you. Okay, so we're done. I'm just going to take the sound at the beginning and remove that as well. Okay, and we're ready. That's it. Now we're going to put music, bake it, and go home. Okay? Indeed. So, for music, remember, go to one of these places. I already went to one of them, picked music that I liked. I'm just going to import it right now. Go to File, Import Audio. And again, if you don't know, you go to Help, you type Import. It will show you all the options of import. You pick the audio one. That you browse your computer, here I have my hip-hop short version, like a 20, 30 seconds clip. It pop up that question, do I want to copy the file to my project or use it from its original location? Unless you really have issues with this space, copy. So that your entire project, once you archive it, goes with everything. So if you get to the point where you might start making money and you have ads, and happens to you what happened to Gimlet in one of their first shows, that their ad had a mistake in it or something that they had to replace, you don't want to struggle finding all the assets to do it in 20 minutes, right? So always best practice, copy things. Okay, I'm there on time. I have 4 minutes to finish that thing. Okay, here's what I'm going to show you right now. I'm going to play the music, but you will see that it's very hard to hear the audio on top of the music, so I'm just going to do that thing right now. You can hear it talk. cannot, right? So first of all, there is a volume here, the general gain that I can use, because this recording is done in what's called hot, meaning the volume goes all the way up to the edges. That's called hot recording or hot mixing. You usually see it with hip-hop and very kind of like loud music. Most music will not go all the way to the end. So what I did here, there is something called gain, which allows me to globally reduce the volume of this entire track to something lower, so it will not be so dominant. But even then, if I play it again, you'll see that you cannot hear...
James,
sorry. It seems like it's in the background, but you cannot hear it. So that's something we're going to fix right now. We're going to basically make sure that the music and the talk are not overlapping each other in an annoying way. There are no exact rules. It's all about feel. But usually you want to have... One of the best tips I got, by the way, about podcasts, start quickly. So pick short music and make sure that talking starts in less than 15 seconds. Don't have like 30 minutes of music before you start. The same rule, by the way, apply to small talk. Try to minimize small talk to just be cute, not boring and annoying, right? Because you enjoy that small talk, I'm sure. It doesn't mean that your listeners will. It really depends on your style. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to use that time-shifting tool again. You see it here. By the way, one thing that is important to know, you have here a button called solo. Solo means play only this track. So I can hit solo here, play only the music, or I can hit solo here and play only the talk. Okay? So that can help you when you try to figure out things. But what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to take this time selection or the time shift selection tool, and I'm going to take the original sound here and just, I need to select all of it. So I'm going to click here. When you click the side, it actually selects the entire track, and I'm going to shift it to start a few seconds after the music starts. Okay? So now the music will start here. This is a good time to start the talk, right? So you have that beat, drop, let's start talking. But the music is so loud. So what we're going to do right now is, first of all, I'm going to increase the gain here, right, just for now, so that it should be a little bit louder. Still not good enough, right? Doesn't sound professional. So now we're going to do the next thing. There's a tool here that has these two arrows with a dot and a line. Okay? This tool, it's called the envelope tool. What it allows you to do is change the volume of a track over time. And 5 minutes, I'm good. I'm going to make it on time. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to actually zoom by time to this area so we can actually see it better. Okay. So what I'm going to do here, when you have this tool selected, if you go here, you see that actually at one point becomes like a dot that you can actually play with. What I'm going to do is where the, when the speaking starts, which is roughly around here, just about, I want to say half a second before that. You don't need much. If you do it too much, it sounds like what happened to the music. If you do it too close, it will still overlap the music, the speaking. I'm just going to click here once to mark a point. Okay, I'm going to drag it back to the top so it's still full volume. Then I'm going to go roughly around here, just, I don't know if it's like milliseconds just before the speaking starts. And I'm going to drag it down, and what you can see is that the entire track is actually fading out and become lower, right? Or quieter. So now, let's listen to this part.
Well, welcome to the podcast.
Okay, I even need a little bit more, so I'm going to now go back to this little dot here and take it even lower. And try it again.
Well, welcome to the podcast. Yourself.
Okay, much better.
My name is James Fawbush. Thank you for joining us. And I'm joined by Mike Sokol from Business.
Now, I would argue this is still too loud, but for now we'll just leave it this way. What you can do then is make it even a little bit lower as we get closer to the end. So just drag it someplace here, make it even lower, and then go to the end and do it just like make it fade out. Okay? So now let's see what we got here.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. Eat Yourself Workshop. My name is James Fawbush. Thank you for joining us.
You can play with my mic Stockholm. Sound better? I would recommend testing both in your headphones and in speakers.
Some people listen to it.
Thank you for listening. Yeah, that's a huge thing. always testing it in your phone. You go in your car, it sounds way different than what you hear it in.
Right. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to repeat that same thing for the ending. So I'm going to import that same file again. Import audio. I'll use the short version again for now. And I'm going to take the selection tool, the time sheet tool, sorry. Again, Command F will give me everything in the screen. Command Shift F will show me all of them. I'm going to move it all over here to the end. And at the end, it's okay to give it a little bit more music. So what you want to do is ideally to have a long enough music so you can find a good time in the talk to start fading it in. So it's like the Oscars, like people know the ending is coming, but it's not too annoying, it's not too long, not too short. And then what you want to do is, again, use this tool for the volume. Go here, make sure that by the time the talk is over, you already at full volume, and before that you just do something like that. So you start with a very low volume, so just try it.
And I stop. Now, for whatever reason, I'm not going to get into
that
now,
but
I should record it. Both channels
in the background. It's going to fade out, fade in, sorry.
So we're not sure how to do it. But what you see here,
okay, and then it's just like it. So try to time it so the end of it is roughly with the end of the music, so you're good. We're done editing. Okay, you can play with it for hours, but basically this is the basic of the editing. What I didn't do for a long time is save. It asks me where do I want to save it, or if I want to copy selected files, I say yes. Now we're going to bake it. How do you bake it? You go to File, Export Audio, and you choose MP3 file. Now when you do it for the first time, because MP3 is a licensed protocol, they cannot bundle it with Audacity. It will give you a pop-up with the link to go download a piece of library that you need to install. And after that, this dialog will work. So first time, don't freak out. It will ask you to install something. You do that thing. You pick a location here. I'm going to name it whatever. Just, again, make sure you know what it is. Save, and now it will pop up another dialog. This is the ID3 tags. These are the settings that will be baked into the header of the file with your name, image, and all these other things. You can put here whatever you want. Raz, yellow, the card, or Audacity, not. Track title, live demo, album title.
Yeah, why?
Nice, someone's paying attention. Track number, well, it's the first one. And, okay, we'll take a couple of seconds. And we'll have our first MP3 file ready to publish. Let's listen to it. Here it is.
Hello, welcome to the podcast, Eat Yourself Workshop. My name is James Paul.
And
thank you for joining us.
We're almost done. If you do info, you'll see that here, someplace, you can see all that information we put in. But especially if you open it in something like iTunes, for example, you actually see all the metadata we put in. There are tools which I didn't get to. One tool is called ID3 Kid or Kid3, which allows you to even put your picture and whatever you as part of it. So, questions. Okay, I'm going to quickly just have a couple of summary points in my slide, and we're done. So, again, what we did, let's see if we did it all. No introduction, normalization, compression. Edit intro number of music. Three sources of music for you to pick from, free or two paid ones, and paid are not expensive. Like that music you just listened to was like $4.99. Right? And I got like 30 seconds, 2 minutes, and something else. We baked it into an MP3, we even did some ID3 dubbing. Okay? These are the links for the audio. You good?
Hey Raz, a question about the music real quick. Now, I don't know how familiar you are. What about, do you have any suggestion about YouTube music? I know you can download royalty-free music off of YouTube and what those rights are for podcasts.
So, my default action that I usually do is I don't get even involved YouTube. By the way, you can actually use their tool to allow you to take YouTube videos and download them as files. Technically, you can do it. My lesson in life is don't trust stuff on YouTube because no one verifies it. It's why I don't use like websites where I know that if I pay them, that's their job in life, to make sure that the license and royalties are that up. So technically, it can be done. I usually don't trust things on the internet unless it's in a paid environment. And this is a great tutorial by Buzzsprout, which are guys who do something around Helsinki to create podcasts. Again, take this link. It's just a cool set of tips for Audacity on how to do it. And that's it. No.
Okay, my time.
I have 3 minutes.
I have a question, Ross.
Yes.
Go ahead, Shannon. I talk a lot louder than probably most folks because I'm hard of hearing. So, and I realize that, you know, I have to be lower. I mean, does that help when you do the compression?
First of all, yes.
Okay.
Also, because my configuration was not showing that, but I wanted to show you, when you recorded these two tracks, left and right, you can actually split them. It's in the same menu where I switched the view from this, you know, kind of like histogram to audio wave. You can actually tell it there to split it into two tracks, then you can apply different normalization and compression to each one separately. Okay? That's a great question. And otherwise, there's actually a tool or a library called Aphonic, if I'm not buffering their name, it's a German or something company, that actually does that thing automatically using computer vision there. So you just, it doesn't cost much, you pay them, I think, or whatever, and they just do it for you perfectly. They even realize what's music and what's speaking in the pizza.
I'll say Genie 2 is part of just doing it for many years. You have to also understand that you need to adjust what your levels are just on your device that you're recording in, because what you're recording in the device sometimes comes out different in here. So you have to understand and just kind of find that balance.
Right.
So you're going to find a balance in what your levels are going to be.
Right. So if you have a mixer, you can control it. Pre-recording, because my device doesn't have separate volume for each channel in this mode, I can at least actually have a separate mode like on different recording which I can play with, but this mode I'm using right now is still recording, so great. Any other questions?
I have a question because I know that they're going to ask this question later down the line. Difference between mono and stereo recording.
Okay. So you really think it's in? Who thought that?
This is a question I hear all the time.
Okay. So, about mono or stereo recording, if you just record yourself, you can record in stereo and in mono, and it really depends. Actually, I'll do it this way. If you record just yourself, you don't need stereo. It's even better to not do stereo, because if you do have, by accident, a stereo microphone, which some people have, your voice will actually be very weird, because every time you move your head left and right, and by the way, as I said, although it's on the hardware session, you need to develop this practice. You do this when you move your head while you're recording instead of this. Because otherwise your volume goes all the way. But if you have a stereo microphone, that's exactly what will happen. Your volume will go, and it just makes your file too big, and you don't really need stereo for audio when you speak. So ideally, just record mono, and if you did have a device like mine that recorded in stereo, you can actually turn it into mono and make it mix it into a single one. Great question. Any other questions?
Yes. So I have, like what you guys had, that was a Tasco, but I also have a mixer. What's the benefit of using one of those? Is that just for more portable and these?
Right, so this is portable. Mm-hmm. It actually can record directly on it.
Okay.
Right, so I don't need to take a computer with me. So when I do interviews outside, I just bring that thing into mics, put them on these like nice, you know, adjustable stands, and that's it. Right? When I do script recording, like when I record the podcast with Octavia, and we did a lot of narration that she actually did. At the script, I said with my computer, because you want to have a little text, you want to label them. So that's usually how I decide to go simple or complicated.
Determine what your objective is. Okay. If your objective is to have really great audio, then maybe that's what it is. But if your objective is to get more ambient sound, maybe it's just right.
Okay.
You know, right. But your objective, you have to determine what your objective or how the sound is going to be.
Right. And that's a great point, because one thing I realized sometimes, some of the more advanced ones, I think, for our stuff, the budgets, they might ship good equipment to people that interview remotely. So the flow of the interview, you know that they're not in the same room, but the quality is so good on both sides that actually your brain feels like something is wrong. Sometimes you want that phone quality. even if you record them with that thing, you might want to even apply purposely a slight distortion on it to make it feel like a little bit distant, just so people's brain will work better. But again, this is all like arty things as you listen to me. So like, stupid, I need to dirty right.
In this, NPR, perfect. Yeah, NPR or Marketplace, listen to Marketplace, when they go out and do the field recordings, like I've heard them say, yeah, we're just recording this on our iPhone. And you're like, seriously?
That's awesome.
Yeah, sometimes it just gives you that feeling, there's some finger there.
So if you're saying you record on your iPhone, then you can plug it in and then use Audacity software, even if you recorded it off your phone.
Right, so like I imported the music,
right.
You just import these files. I think it was like, so you need to record on it, but that's you just import files.
Okay. Yeah, Ross is cleaning up that audio. No matter what, Ross was just cleaning up the audio regardless. He's like pulling the audio and he's normalizing it, compressing it, whether it's from a microphone or an iPhone audio, you can still clean that audio up.
And the last tip I'll give you, don't try to overdo it. Nothing, not effects, not being perfect. Like, just let it grow with you. Also, as again, not technical tip, don't get your best guess on the first job. Practice on less important people. Okay, because that's another thing you need to learn.
How to know when you're a guest.
Yes,
right.
When you're on the first show.
If you're on my first show, okay.
Special.
That's it. This is my V card if you want to find me.
Thank you. Have you have questions or...